This is a Christian Science prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. Website, mbeinstitute.org. The title is One Mind. Progress is always. Poor grammar or superior understanding? Why would anyone say progress is always? Normally, one would say progress is always, plural. Is this poor grammar? Is it just an oversight? Is it a typo? If someone had superior understanding, would they make a mistake like this? That is basic grammar? Einstein gave us some words of wisdom that are directly related to the situation here. He said, if one is confronted with a problem, never try to approach the solution at the same level of where the problem appeared. He also said, curiosity has its own reason for existing. Never stop questioning. Jesus says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That obviously includes free of any kind of error in any form at any level. In Mary Baker Eddy's later years, in revealing to us 432 different versions of one book, she discovered that her revelation through that progress that had 432 elements or steps or degrees or moments, take your pick. She said this, divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. She also said, when the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. She probably had over 400, in fact, probably over 410 versions of the textbook published before this revelation revealed itself from the one and only mind that she consistently deferred to in order to bring forth the 432 additions. This gives thought a vivid opportunity to expand, and where is the limit? Is it infinite? Is it something without limits altogether? One thing that is clear if you're interested in education from the best source we have, which is written in the Bible, the textbook of Christian Science, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, and the best dictionaries showing how words have been used, and pick your choice in the language. But certainly it wouldn't be difficult to come to the conclusion that anything that has a proven system within a proven structure is a good place to begin. And we don't know about the other end, because probably there is no end, which is the other end to the beginning. So we really can't say for sure anything in absolute terms that we haven't demonstrated. So let's look at some examples of ones who have a degree of demonstration and think about how they operated. Jesus certainly stands out. There are Bible characters in the Old Testament that stand out. Evidence of individuals living almost 1,000 years. And evidence of ascension. And when we get to the New Testament, there's no question that Jesus demonstrated his science, whatever it was, because he repeated it over and over and over. So there had to be a science to it. It wasn't haphazard. It wasn't random. It was something definitive. Mary Baker Eddy stated, which was read to you, that she reduced divine metaphysics to a system. And if we understand and practice the 32 planks thereof, that we will discover the infallibility. In other words, it is effective without flaw. If we've had any mathematics, we learned what 1 times 2 is. 1 times 1, 1 times 3, 1 times 4. 2 times 1. 2 times 2, 2 times 3, 2 times 4. 3 times 1, 3 times 2, and so forth. And it works no matter what the color of our skin is, what country on planet Earth, and maybe where in the galactic. It is the same result that is learned from the mathematical tables. Einstein gives us some words of wisdom along this line. He says, science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind. Blind. Not just lame, but blind. What religions offer. Any science whatsoever that prove what Einstein said. Mary Baker Eddy gives us a clue about one. And how do we know we can trust what she tells us? She put out a 700-page book that has been in print A smaller edition, which began in 1875 as edition number 1, with fewer pages, but in 1910 her final edition, which included a total of 432 different editions, contained 700 pages. 700 even. In it, there are 101 pages, which are the last pages of the book, which provide 486 healings from 85 different people. If you look at the combined success, it's just under 6 healings per individual. They apparently learned the 32 planks and lived it. They may not have even realized that they number 32, but it was certainly in the edition that they studied. Well, maybe or maybe not. Because those healings were accumulated prior to her final edition, because they're recorded in the final edition, and they weren't revealed to Mary Baker Eddy until almost her final edition. In other words, she had healings from 1866 to 1910. And all during that period, it was a situation of continuous progress. One very fine quote from her says, "Infinite progression is concrete being." Infinite progression. Something we can really put our faith into is progress that has been proven 486 times in records that have been verified, fully vetted to the hilt. To the hilt. Einstein had trouble believing in what was in the textbook because it was the antithesis of what he spent his life searching for. And when it was all said and done, one of his later statements in life was, "Imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. Why would he say such a thing?" After studying Christian Science, which was a result of being attracted to finding out why his good friend, who was also a physicist and worked on the Atomic Energy Commission, proved that it worked for him, because he was the only one out of the team of the Atomic Energy Commission that survived the radiation that everyone on the team experienced. And they all passed on, except him. And his friend Einstein said, "Well, how did you survive?" He was surprised to find out it was a result of his study and understanding of Christian Science. In other words, spiritual healing superseded material disease. And that turned Einstein to a full throttle, the foot to the floor, no brakes. However, one of Einstein's words of wisdom says, curiosity has its own reason for existing. Never stop questioning. So you can be sure that just because his friend, who he trusted, said something, Einstein had to prove it. Einstein had to do the research from start to finish on his own. And when he had accomplished what he thought he understood, he said the following, "Blessed art thou, because everything that is in this book." Imagine studying your whole life, being respected by the world on your accomplishments, and now he's getting down on his knees and saying, "I knew nothing. I knew nothing. This is the truth," pointing to the textbook of Christian Science and giving credit to Mary Baker Eddy, its blessed author. He even capitalized the word blessed, holy, blessed, capitalized. Fibonacci, one of the greatest mathematicians of all time, discovered the relationship which appears as matter, such as the leaves of a tree. The veins that go through the leaves of a tree line up with what he discovered about mathematics. And that's just the beginning. He found so many relationships. Human nature itself abides by the relationships he discovered. That's why Mary Baker Eddy said that it would be good if the female population on planet Earth would have the same rights as the male population. That was certainly understood by the men throughout history. In Jesus' day, when he had 4,000 and 5,000 attend his teachings on the hillside, they counted only men. They said men plus women and children. So instead of 4,000 and 5,000, they're probably talking 25,000 to 30,000 or 35,000. Because you've got a woman who was the wife, bearing the children, probably had 3 or 4 or 5 children per family. So he was not preaching to 9,000 in those two sessions combined, but probably a large multiple of that. Mary Baker Eddy could not own property. She could not vote. Women had very little rights whatsoever beyond breathing. So Einstein stated, imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. That would place his statement somewhere around 1946. That would be 80 years exactly from when she discovered Christian Science in 1866. So when Mary Baker Eddy said it would be good if women had the same rights as men, not only did she state clearly that her concept of God was as a father and mother, because she stated that as the last two pages of chapter 1 on prayer, where she gave her spiritual sense of the Lord's Prayer, given to us by Jesus when he said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." She says, "Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious. Father, Mother God." She points out that the qualities of God include all of the qualities that she discovered were synonymous terms, which were mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. And love is defined as the motherly quality, which includes nurturing all of the other qualities. So love includes mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Certainly based on that, God deserves to be called Mother as often as he's called Father, and maybe more. The point is, Frederick L. Rawson, who obviously proved himself, certainly not consciously, the works that he did proved his understanding, but he said, "We know so little about God. Don't ever criticize someone for their understanding. They may know more than we do. No one knows at all." Just think about the word infinite. One of Mary Baker Eddy's greatest works was considered to be Christ in Christmas, a very small booklet. And in it are several descriptive illustrations portraying the real interpretation of the words. And what do you think the final illustration looks like to explain the words? The final one, which means thought had already unfolded to completely cover all pages prior to it. It is the recapitulation of that book, just like chapter 14 is a recapitulation of the textbook. That recap illustration is B-L-A-N-K. Blank. It has nothing on it, which means that it is open to infinite progression, infinite levels of future understanding with no end. And that lines up exactly with what Frederick L. Rawson is conveying to anyone that will listen. Why do I talk about Frederick L. Rawson? He is the only one that discovered how to heal back in time. In other words, time travel. He proved it over 500 times by healing where the effectiveness of the healing took place immediately after it was discovered by the so-called victim that there was a problem. Imagine what that means. Well, we all saw the movie, Back to the Future, by one of the popular actors of the day. Frederick L. Rawson described very succinctly that our life as a human is a movie. What part of the movie do we want to look at? And remember, well, maybe you don't know because I didn't mention it, but if you look on our website, you will find out his era ended about 1925. They didn't have the technology that everyone knows about now or enjoys the benefits of it by seeing a movie with sound, color, and so forth. It was like a black and white series of screenshots. But he pieced it together mentally as a movie that was complete from beginning to end. And there's one for each one of us for our lives. Adam and Eve is trying to say that they know what that movie is all about. And that's why the churches repeat over and over and over that we're all born a sinner. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, neither did this man sin, nor did his parents, in speaking about the gentleman who was born blind. He said the only reason that this situation is here is for us to glorify God. And he asked, do you believe you can be healed? And when he got a positive answer, he was involved as the catalyst in bringing it about in visible form. He already knew the man could see, but the man didn't know that. And all the people that saw him acting like he was blind didn't know that. The man himself didn't know that, or he wouldn't have been acting like he was blind. It's like the gentleman that stumbled, hobbled to the theater. He was one of their star actors. This was back in the day of the plays, long before movies. And so the actors that were not involved in the play, their part hadn't come up, and they were waiting in the audience to be called or given the cue to get ready and go to walk up on the stage and do their thing. He sat aching in his chair. He was obviously very ill. But when they called his cue, he snapped out of it immediately because he changed his level of consciousness to what he was supposed to be on the set versus what he appeared to be experiencing in real life. And then he could perform as if he were the youngest actor in the whole company. Imagine how his life would have been turned around if he would have realized that when he snapped out of it, out of thinking that he was ill and diseased or whatever the problem was, that he could hardly walk, if he realized that the truth was how he was as soon as they called him to get up on the stage, where he acted like the youngest man of the whole group that were performing for the audience. Mary Baker Eddy includes the terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love as the seven synonymous terms to define God. She also gives us some words that she emphasizes that come within and are included within those seven terms, such as the definition of God on page 465, where she says that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite. On page 587 in the glossary, the first one was from Recapitulation, and in the glossary she says, God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, eternal, all-substance, intelligence. On the same page, she describes the definition of good as God, Spirit, Omnipotence, Omniscience, Omnipresence, Omniaction. Omniscience includes Omni-intelligence, Omni-wisdom, and Omni-knowing. What is left out? Even though Frederick O. Rawson says we have such a small understanding of this infinite concept of G-O-D, don't even think about criticizing someone else's verbalization of what they think God is. Even if every word that could possibly be gleaned from the American English language seems to be totally in a comprehensive collection of what possibly must cover everything there is, how are you going to say that when one of those words is the word infinite? Incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite. Infinite mind, the very first word in the seven in that definition, infinite mind. Why, we can sit here even in a very limited form and have our mind think about being one place under one set of circumstances and somewhere else, even in the galactic, millions of miles away, or maybe millions of light years away, under a set of parameters that we define ourselves. What gives us the ability to criticize someone else? Dr. Francis Fluno, one of the star performers for Mary Baker Eddy as a lecturer, wrote a piece on criticism. And she thought it was so valuable that she herself carved out of every hour of the day that she was awake time to devote to make sure that she was doing the opposite of what criticism is all about. Now, why would she do that? Imagine what she accomplished. She had no one really in full support of her. No one. She was it. She had a household team. But what did they know? When she decided her final day had arrived and that she should cut her ties to the visible humanity, and it was a conscious decision, without a doubt. You can read her own words. There wasn't a single Christian, there wasn't a single individual that claimed to be a Christian Scientist that stood up for her. Not a single one. As mentioned previously, men absolutely would not accept a woman as being an equal. Now, of course, you can probably find as many or more women that are operating the largest corporations in the world on planet Earth as you can men. I was shocked maybe 30 years ago when eBay came about and the CEO was a woman. I couldn't believe it. That was my first initiation to realizing how blind I was. And now it's probably easier to find a woman than a man that is the CEO of a major international corporation. So when Einstein says, imagine a woman, as mentioned, a woman couldn't vote, a woman couldn't hold title to property. She had to use the intelligence God gave her to put everything in trust But what happened when she left? The board of directors, which comprised only of men, because nobody would ever accept a woman being in a position, even though a woman was the one that controlled the board of directors, in theory. But in practice, they resisted her on everything. Everything. And the day she passed on, what did they do with the textbook? Removed her picture. Removed her picture. It was absolute common routine for the author to have their picture at the front of the book, no matter what the topic of the book was. Not the textbook. The day she passed on, her picture was removed, and they published the new edition immediately without her. And what did they do with all of the other traces of her success that were, in theory, believed to be wonderful? And I say in theory because nobody supported her. They blew up all the statues. There were statues all around the northeast part of the U.S., which is where she was based. And that's where the pilgrims came in from Europe, because that was the closest place to touch of the landmass called America. Because the northern part extends out to the east. Yep, they blew up all of the statues. They destroyed most of her homes that provided history of her progress. They blew up a pyramid that was scaled to the exact proportion of the Pyramid of Giza. It was the largest piece of granite ever mined in the state of New Hampshire, which was considered the granite state. If you want granite, you go there. If you want the finest marble, you go to Italy. There are places on earth that have natural resources that are not common anywhere else. They did everything to destroy that she ever existed. They threatened everybody that had any close relationship with her that they would be excommunicated from the church. If they talked about her, gave credit to her, or anything else that helped people remember who she was. They thought destroying her in that way was going to destroy what she gave to the world. Little did they know, that didn't do it. Came close. We're down to only a thread of us now. The big cities had 40 or 50 churches, particularly in the U.S. Now, if you find two or three that are active, where the buildings haven't been disposed of, and the worst crime about that is that the money that was come forth from the sale was all donated to the people who were trying to destroy her. Yeah, it was sent off to the Mother Church in Boston. How many great thinkers had the same experience? All of them. All of them. The founder of Apple was thrown out of Apple. They finally brought him back in, but yeah, after he came forth with the greatest ideas on computers, which were stolen from his competitor because he trusted humanity, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. Look at Walmart. After Sam Walton passed, the nature of Walmart changed, and it has been involved in a lot of evil activities. The same with many other companies. Think about the fact that she left the last page of one of her greatest publications, Christ in Christmas. The last illustration was blank. She gives us all the clues. The very definition of God says infinite. Frederick L. Rawson was correct. We don't have any right to limit someone else's concept. Everyone has to work out their own salvation. So what did they do? Was Frederick L. Rawson a big proponent of the church in Boston? It was at its peak when he got involved. He left in 1925, so by that time it was, the peak was over. The peak was December 1910, the day that Mary Baker Eddy left in visible form. Nope. Anyone who had an independent thought and wasn't willing to just toe the line behind a bureaucracy, they were either excommunicated or they saw the light and left. How about Joe Goldsmith? He had 15-minute appointments, as did Frederick L. Rawson and Wentworth Winslow. 15-minute appointments. At the end of 15 minutes, the healing was complete. It did not matter what the problem was. They had such a level of understanding, such a consciousness of purity, such a thought, speech, and action, a life of purity, that they could heal anything in 15 minutes. Which means probably instantaneous, because they had to say hello and goodbye. In those days, they were all visiting the offices. They didn't have the telecommunications we have available now. Even the ones living in her home that had day-to-day instruction and examples from her by her own thought, speech, and action, not a one of them published anything of substantial volume. About the best you can come up with is what we have on our website, which is reminiscences, recollections of a few thoughts. That's it. Out of all of her classes in the Metaphysical College, in the third day of her final class, and everyone had to be hand-chosen by her in that final class, she gave him an assignment to go out and do a healing and come back the next morning. This is on the third day of the class. Come back the next morning and report the healing. Every single one did it. Even that group didn't give us anything directly. There's two or three individuals that we captured notes from their notes. And that work that was done by a very fine CS organization who's still in existence. It's called the 1888-1898 Class Notes of Mary Baker Eddy. We have a sample of them on our website, and we have the source where you can buy the entire set in writing. And if you do that, then we will give you a PDF copy of it. But they hold the copyright on it because it's their work, and we do it as a complimentary thing, but you have to buy from them what they sell. I quote them, read them all the time. But the most advanced work that Mary Baker Eddy did was what she stated that was recited to you at the beginning of this prayer treatment, about she's reduced everything to a system, and there's 32 planks, or rather 32 topics, that are the foundation on which we can stand to what? Aim toward the infinite. It's only a beginning. But even if you understand just the beginning, you can heal. And how do you heal? By not thinking about healing. You heal as a byproduct of improving your own understanding of who God is, who we are, as His manifestation, and that includes, we includes everyone that exists. Everyone. And if you remember what was said about Dr. Francis Fluno, the bottom line with him is stated in one sentence, And Mary Becquerel devoted time every hour on that sentence. And that is criticism. This is criticizing anybody about anything, which means criticizing anything, which means criticizing the child of God, criticizing the offspring of the infinite. Genesis 1 says that God made man in his image and likeness. That's all 8.3 billion of us. And how about the galactic? Who knows how many zeros that are involved in beings that are in the galactic? They're all image and likeness of God. Every single one. It's been said that if you look out into the heavens above us, of course the real heaven is within consciousness, but if you look out where everyone says these are stars, planets, whatever, each little light of the infinite number that are out there represents an idea of God. You figure the math. You figure the math. So are we going to do what Mary Becquerel did? There were churches in probably every country on planet Earth. Everything was done in a very short lifetime. She didn't even get started with the first idea until 1866 that Christian Science existed. And what's the difference between Jesus and Mary Becquerel? Jesus proved that he knew what made things tick. And Mary Becquerel discovered the science of what he knew. That's why it's called Science and Health. And our homepage right now, and it's not always going to be this way, but right now, the topic is effective healing. And we will always keep the presentation, it just won't be on the homepage. Effective healing. And the complimentary pages are entitled Heal Everything. How to heal everything. So those few words of effective healing and how to heal everything combined, it tells you every step you need to take to bring forth the most beautiful, progressive, revolutionary, transformed life that one could imagine. And it's all from Mary Becquerel and people like Jesus and other advanced students like Frederick L. Rawson, Wentworth Winslow, Joel Goldsmith. Wentworth Winslow healed a boy from belief of death. Joel Goldsmith had his office across the street from the Mother Church for 16 years, and it got to the point that nobody was going to anyone else in the office building, and all came to him for healing. As was mentioned, he had 15-minute appointments. You come in, 15 minutes later, you leave, and you're healed. That's it. He was called into the Christian Science nursing home in the area because one of their patients had a problem that they didn't seem to be making progress on. So they asked him to come. He went. When he entered the building, the receptionist said, "You can't go in there." He said, "Why not?" He said, "Everyone has a contagious disease. The same contagious disease." He said, "How many do you have here?" She told him. He says, "You realize you only have one problem, right? You don't know how, you know, you don't have the number that however many it was. It was several floors, I guess it was 200 or 300 or more. You have one problem." She didn't know what to think. that's the way you can't go in there anyway. So he sat down in a quiet area in the reception room, and in a few minutes, they all started coming out, the nurses did, reporting that everyone was healed. All at the same time. Everyone. It happened in an instant. Not instantly at the beginning, but after he had his thought where it needed to be to bring it forth, he was the catalyst that opened up the door. The receptionist was the big blocking wall that wouldn't let the truth go in. So after that, they had to get rid of him, and they chased him out of town. Because not only was he putting, not only was his healing truth that he was demonstrating removing all patience that they had, and boy, they had to be not only patients, but very patient, because they were not getting any results from any place else. So he left Boston. They threatened to sue him if he even mentioned Mary Baker at his name, or if they, anyway, they, so he said, okay, bye. He started his own organization, just like all these other people that have been really, truly successful Christian Scientists and healers. The world is open to progress. One of the most popular portraits or caricatures of Jesus is him standing at a door, knocking on it, in a white robe, representing purity. The door representing our door of consciousness, that we have to open and let the truth in. And if we do, watch out, because there's going to be a flood if we let it come in, which exactly is what we need, to totally cleanse out anything that is unlike God. Isaiah says, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. The definition of man on page 591 is a compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full representation of mind. That's man, that's you and me, with our spiritual viewpoint, our spiritual understanding. Do you know what the word hearing represents? Understanding. Understanding. I cannot emphasize to you the importance enough to become a master of the English language. Look up every single word that you even think you know, if it's an important key word, such as the word hearing, and you will learn from it. You will learn from it. Word study is a very important part of any kind of advanced reading. And, of course, elementary reading as well, because elementary reading is the foundation of the advanced. Everything you need is on the website. And we keep expanding it all the time. All the time. Einstein said, Christian Science is effective if you study it methodically, systematically, and scientifically. Claire Barton, the founder of the American Red Cross, respected worldwide for her unparalleled energy that she used in such a productive way to help those who were injured in the foibles of war, all of which, the war to which I refer, the wars, every war, was manufactured. Manufactured. No reason for it. It was a psyop. Every single one was a psyop. Trying to convey to the public of the countries involved that it was absolutely the only way they could save their nation, when in fact the whole point was to generate a money laundering operation for the politicians and unelected people that were operating the governments throughout the world. This is referred to as the swamp. Edmund Burke, 300 years ago, said, "Evil triumphs when good men do nothing." Evil is like a mushroom. When it's concealed, it grows the best. And evil is an expert, not a person, but the concept of evil itself, is an expert on deception, decoys, divide and conquer, psyops, repetitive things to the human so-called brain until it believes what is totally false to be true. And that is by the largest intelligence agency in the world that is based in the U.S. It starts with a C. And that's exactly how it operates. So Clara Barton said, "Mary Baker Eddy did the greatest good. Christian Science is the most potent factor in religious life." Here's the woman that everybody worldwide says was the greatest woman, Clara Barton. But what does Clara Barton say? Clara Barton says Mary Baker Eddy did the greatest good for humanity. And Christian Science is the most potent factor in religious life. And I gave you some quotes from Einstein. Both of these are authors on the website, and you're invited to read everything they said about Christian Science as well as everything on the website. You're invited to read and study. We have over 500 prayer treatments. They're all extemporaneous, so they're not polished as they come out of the mouth, which hopefully is a result of listening to the truth taught. Then it is conveyed to whoever listens. Probably any subject you could think of. Frederick L. Rawson wrote a book, many books. One of them is entitled Life Understood from a Spiritual Perception and Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. In it, there is a chapter called Applied Treatment. It's highly recommended you do not read it from beginning to end because it lists 1,315 ailments and how to heal them. So, if you read it from beginning to end, it's like reading a medical dictionary in very brief form, because it only gives like one sentence on what the ailment is, and then the rest of the text about that is the reverse, which is what Mary Baker Eddy says we need to do. We need to find the problem, and then we need to explain it away with the specific truth that negates the problem. And that's exactly what he does with 1,315 ailments. Very valuable. Just don't read it like you want to learn about all the ailments. Just pick out what you are trying to work on to heal and use that as one of the tools that is very valuable in solving the problem. Remembering what Einstein says, you cannot approach the solution to a problem at the same level. And also what was said about evil. Evil is an expert on deception and decoys and psyops. Everything you need to know that we are aware of, and everyone in the Institute is a lifelong Christian Scientist that has relied on nothing but Christian Science for their health and well-being. But the reason most people fail is they don't get started. And of those who get started, the reason they fail is because they don't follow through. What is the most important thing in your life? The ones that follow through have a conviction that the most important thing in their life is to improve it. And we've got to remember Isaiah, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. You cannot accomplish going to the moon just because you thought about it for 5 seconds. The reason the wealthiest man in the world could launch a rocket and bring it back and land it in its own launching pad was not by giving it 5 seconds of thought. It's by mastering all of the elements of mathematics and physics and everything else that's involved to make it happen. He has devoted his life to finding problems that nobody has solved and tackled them until they were solved. That's a true genius. He's not a true genius because of having a special physical brain. A true genius is someone who never gives up, never gives in, and continues on regardless of whatever obstacles they have to overcome. And that's why the President of the United States has made those statements time and time again in almost every single public address that he has given. That's how the Mary Beck Ready judges, not that we judge people, but that's how we define what a genius is. Because less than 0.001% of the people, that means 1 out of 1,000, actually follow through. They have an idea. It could be a wonderful idea. And they're in the very minority that comes up with the idea. But then of those that come up with the idea, less than 1 in 1,000 people follow through. And obviously, the wealthiest man in the world not only comes up with great ideas and focuses on solving problems that have never been solved, but he follows through. It's not what he was born with as a so-called brain that makes him a genius. He follows through, and we can all do the same thing. It doesn't matter what your profession is. It doesn't matter. If you want to use your time most effectively, you have to study time management. You have to become proficient in time management. The same with goal management. The same with everything. Reading. Do you do a lot of reading? Then you better be very proficient in how to read. We have on our website the best book you can get. It's by the former chief editor of Encyclopedia Britannica. The title is very simply, How to Read a Book. To our knowledge, it's not under copyright because it's been out for so many years. I think, 80, 90 years beyond any copyright. And we make it available free. Starting is the biggest decision. Once you start, finishing is the biggest decision. If you do it, you're automatically a genius. Automatically. Because you're successful. You succeed at what you started to do. You want to have a better life? You can do it. Anyone can do it. You know what the problem is with probably every single one? That the three people that had healings in 15 minutes for all their patients? Wentworth Winslow did it for 35 years. 35 years. Imagine the quantity of people. If he did 4 every hour, and if he just had a short day of 8 hours, that's 32 a day. And if he worked only 20 days a month, that's 640 people. We're talking over 7,000 people a year, and he did it 35 years. My goodness. There wouldn't be a person on the planet Earth that wouldn't be touched if we had a few people like that. But what is the problem? The people got lazy. Yeah, they were healed, and then they did nothing more. They did nothing more. They didn't take up the study of Christian Science. They didn't really put their heart into what happened and figure out, like Mary Baker Eddy did in 1866. She was healed by reading some particular verses out of the Bible. She didn't just throw the Bible away or pick it up once a month and look at it for 5 minutes or attend church and listen to someone else give their opinion about a Bible verse. No. No. She took the bull by the horns, figured out what was the science behind the healings of Jesus. She was convinced they were not miracles, but she had to prove it. And she spent the years 1866 to 1875 in doing so. She healed everything there was that she was confronted with, everything that came to her from other people. One lady sent her a letter. This was before we had advanced communications. And she said she was having a problem with healing vision problem. Mary Baker Eddy sent back a letter with one important statement. Are you able to focus no matter what comes your way? You see, there's the one in a thousand that addresses the problem. And one in a thousand that addresses the problem that follows through to the cure. Are we willing to do it? Are we prepared to put forth the effort to have success? Mary Baker Eddy says, the biggest difference between success and failure is how one uses their moments. I'm sorry, she said often. Often the difference between success and failure is how you use your moments. How do we use them? Time management, goal management. What do you have as a burning desire in your heart? Do you really want to change the world by you changing yourself as a beginner? That's where you start. And let your light shine as a beacon in a lighthouse. Let it shine silently, anonymously. People will notice, but that's not your business whether they notice or not. You have to develop a life of giving. Does it matter whether you get a thank you? No. How many lepers that Jesus healed thanked him? There were 10. One thanked him. One. One out of 10. Jesus had 12 disciples. How many really learned anything? One. John. And what did Jesus do about it? After he ascended, he came back and met with John on the island of Patmos. And they wrote the book of Revelation. Together. The only one that deserved seeing Jesus again. And he came back. And they finished the Bible with the book of Revelation. Robert C. Putnam. He was the author of 10 Bible lessons. It's on our website. And he was a student of Bliss Knapp. Bliss Knapp was under the tutelage of Mary Baker Eddy since the age of 6 or 7. The man's wife, Ira Knapp, which was Bliss Knapp's father, the one who went under the tutelage of Mary Baker Eddy at the age of 6 or 7. The mother, which was Ira's wife and Bliss's mother, was murdered. They tried to break up the success that Mary Baker Eddy was having, so they tried everything. They killed people. They murdered people. They discouraged people from being a part of the organization, chased them out. They couldn't do it. They couldn't stop. Because by the time that she left in 1910, the churches were spread worldwide with tremendous growth taking place everywhere. And she said, if Christian Scientists don't do their work, we will eventually face the biggest tragedy possible. It'll be the beginning of the longest, most severe dark ages that civilization has ever known. If Christian Scientists don't do their work. There's a few colonels out there that did their work and are doing their work, and the President of the United States is one of them. He's not an acclaimed Christian Scientist, but the pastor that he attended to church when he was a young man had the textbook on his desk. He's one of the more popular people that wrote books that Christian Scientists read. And the President is well aware of the textbook. And what he does behind the scenes is more than most people realize. But he's prophesied in the Bible. His actions are, and he's fulfilling it. Mary Baker Eddy was prophesied. Her actions were prophesied. Jesus was prophesied in the Old Testament. Jesus' actions fulfilled the prophecy. The limit is unlimited. And that's what we should strive for. Infinite progression is concrete being. And wow, is it a journey that you will find in proportion? The pleasure of it will be in proportion to your desire to improve your understanding. Because as you improve your understanding, healing comes automatically. All of a sudden, if you're having a vision problem, you will forget to put your glasses on. Because automatically, subconsciously, you will realize you don't need them because you've already been healed. But it takes repetition of the truth to retrain the so-called brain so that you can elevate above the material sense of brain and step over that bridge into pure spirit, which is the flawless substance of all existence. We will close with the one statement that every sincere Christian Scientist has heard hundreds of times, in addition to the other two quotes from the Introduction to Science and Health. The first one has been mentioned a couple of times already. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The second one is from Shakespeare. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And the third one from Mary Baker Eddy herself. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. And now the scientific statement of being. There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is His image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Amen. If you stay tuned for a couple of words, a couple of thoughts just occurred to me before we started this statement of being, and they are as follows. Repeating what Mary Baker Eddy did, in practical terms, she devoted a few moments every hour to make sure her thought was clear of any possibility of letting any thought, speech, or action be devoted to criticism of anybody for any reason, for anything, under any circumstance. Because since Genesis chapter 1 says God made man in his image and likeness, if we criticize any individual, we're breaking the commandment that thou shalt have no other gods before me. We're breaking it. We're letting criticism of God himself be our thought and maybe our speech. And Jesus says if we think about it, it's the same as doing it. So what do you want to do? Do you want to stop all progress in your life that you would otherwise be able to enjoy if you embarked upon transforming from a material sense of everything to a spiritual reality? If so, then you've got to give up criticism. And as noted before, the second step in the effective healing method, the first step is really having the right attitude, and the second one is to cultivate a life of giving. And there are so many ways to give. Yes, money is one way, but that's only one. Your whole being is available to be giving. Everything about you, every talent you know, every discipline, every thought, speech, and action can be constructive that you can give. You can reflect it. Don't preach to adults. Adults don't learn from being preached to. They have to be attracted to learn. And the best way we can do that is to be the example so that they might notice something is different. What is it? Two kinds of healing, preventative and curative. We need to tackle both of them. We can prevent almost every mishap, and we can cure the ones that we didn't prevent. The Institute knows of a family that had 4 children. They were all raised in Christian Science. The father was in business. The mother was the homemaker. None of them ever used a doctor. Never had a day of illness where it interfered with their activities. The children, all 4, had perfect attendance for every year they attended school. Every year. The school had never had anybody that had perfect attendance for all the years in school. And rarely did they have a student that had perfect attendance just for 1 year. So never anyone had it for all the years, 12 years was the school span, and to have a whole family. And they were exempted. All the kids were exempted from taking classes that taught about the body and sicknesses and illnesses and drugs and all that stuff. They never took it in. To this day, I doubt if any of them can name more than a handful of the names of different diseases and illnesses, because they just didn't have a life that was surrounded by being dependent on someone else for their well-being. I mean, a human. They depended upon the divine. Those are the thoughts. It is presently Monday, August 10, 2026. And it is 14:19, which on a 24-hour clock, subtract 12 hours, and you'll have the time of 2:19 p.m. for those that are on a 12-hour clock. Thank you for listening. The end.